Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shape the Trinity League. Exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Welcome in this week to Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and later on in the show, in this hour, we will talk with the CIF State Assistant Commissioner, and that's Ron Nocetti. We're also going to hear from Justin Allenbaugh. He's the head football coach at Concord De La Salle. They're playing the modern-day Monarchs for a state championship tonight, as we talk about the show right here on Saturday morning. Tonight is the CIF State Championship up in Sacramento, the modern-day Monarchs and the Concord De La Salle Spartans. That should be a great game, and we'll talk about the wrap-up from that in next week's show. But we kick things off this week by talking to one of our favorite alums from Servite High School. We are very honored to welcome into the show this week Cody Fajardo, the former Servite Friar, former University of Nevada Wolfpack member, and now a champion up in the Canadian Football League. Cody, how does that sound? So I know it's still fresh, but sounds pretty good to be called a champion, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's been an incredible career for me so far. I've been fortunate enough to win a championship at all three levels, so you know, and I've truly been blessed with the championship name.
That was going to be my first question. You're right. You've won at every level, so you pretty much got the hang of this football thing, don't you?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's more a little bit more about luck than anything, but it's been fun, you know, just to be a part of a championship team and to understand what it takes. In the future, looking into it, I would like to get into coaching, and I just feel like I have a grasp of kind of what it takes in the locker room and behind the scenes as opposed to the stuff on the field to be a champion.
You know, we're going to talk about your career, you know, spanning from Servite to Nevada and path to the CFL, which is where you are right now. We'll get into all that. But I kind of want to just go back a little bit to the playoff game before the Grey Cup championship. You actually were able to score the game-winning touchdown to put your team into the championship to play for the Grey Cup. What an awesome feeling that had to be.
Yeah, you know, the CFL is different where, you know, we only get three downs. So anytime there's a certain running package, our starting quarterback, his name's Ricky Ray, who's 38 years old, and they wanted to take some hits off him. So they put in a couple packages for me down in the goal line and short yardage situations and, you know, pretty much when the quarterback needed to run. And I remember the game was cold and I was just kind of standing there all game. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's like 40 some seconds left on the clock and they're like, Cody, go in. And I was like, okay, you know, jogging in and end up being a part of, you know, an awesome touchdown and led us to go into the Grey Cup. But Ricky gives me crap all the time. He's like, I drove you all the way down. You get the touchdown, you get all the glory, which is funny. But yeah, it's been fun. It's been, that's what I love most about the CFL is you can be a backup quarterback and still have a chance to feel a part of the team and contribute as opposed to holding a clipboard on the sideline.
Yeah, right. You're called the change of pace quarterback, I guess, on the team. And you're right, with the three downs, it's a little bit different football. It's still football, but a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, fast-paced football. And as a quarterback, the one thing I learned is you can't throw an incompletion in the CFL. You throw an incompletion, I think your chance of punting is like 80% because you have those three downs. So there's no throwaway down where you can just run the ball, get stuffed, or throw an incompletion like you can in American football, where every single play you have to get some sort of yardage to have a chance to convert the first down.
You mentioned fast-paced football, and I think that's probably your training ground, of course, at Nevada in that pistol offense. That pretty much, I think, would have to have prepared you for what you need to do in the CFL, right?
Yeah, no doubt. The field's bigger, and so as a running quarterback, it really plays to my strength because I can go a little bit east and west, a little bit longer than actually getting north and getting up north. So I like it. It really is tailored to my game, and it lets me kind of be who I am. It doesn't kind of bottle me up, and where I have to, I'm forced to be a pocket passer. I can kind of lean on my strengths a little bit more.
Yeah, we're visiting with Cody Fajardo, former Servite Friar, and now a champion with the winning the Grey Cup a couple of weeks ago here with the Toronto Argonauts in the Canadian Football League. Joining us this week here on Catholic Sports View, you know, a lot of people call you a running quarterback. I think what's lost in that a lot of times is, you know, you're 6'5", you're over 200 pounds. I mean, you're a big guy. I mean, you're the type of guy that can also, I think, stand in the pocket and look downfield and find receivers, right? You have both parts of your game.
Yeah, no doubt. My part of my game, I love running the football. I love when the ball's in my hands with the game on the line. You know, every kid does. You're in your backyard, you know, going through the scenario. It's the Super Bowl, and there's, you know, a minute left, and you got to drive your team down and score. So that's what I just love most about playing quarterback. And whether it's me throwing the ball for a touchdown or running in for the game-winning touchdown, it doesn't matter as long as I can be a part of it.
You know, not that I want to compare you to any other players out there, but did you ever think about, or did anyone ever suggest to you, hey, maybe quarterback's not your future. Maybe you go to another position. You know, obviously Tim Tebow's the biggest example of that. People tried to get him to change positions. He wanted to stay as a quarterback. Did you have that same kind of moment?
Yeah, so when I was actually coming out of college, there was a few NFL teams who were interested in me as like a slot receiver or even trying me at running back.
Mm.
And I, you know, all I know is quarterback, and it's kind of one of those things where I sat down and I really thought about it, and I said, to change positions going into arguably the most competitive sport in the world would be, you know, psychotic for me to do something that's new against the best athletes in the world. So I decided to stick kind of to my comfort zone. This year and last year, I was on the punt team, which was the first time. So I was protecting on the punt and running down on punts, which was real new to me, and also holding for field goals. So a little bit different, kind of got me out of my comfort zone this year. But any way I can kind of contribute, I love playing the quarterback position, like we were talking about earlier, just having the ball in my hands at every single play. But any chance I can contribute to help the team, that's what I'm all in for.
Right, right. And obviously, committing to the quarterback position, you know, I'm sure you looked around and you said, hey, you know, maybe finding somebody who can give me a little help. I know Steve Calhoun with Armed and Dangerous Football, you've worked with him in the past. Is that still the relationship you have with Coach Calhoun? And how did that help you in your maturation as a quarterback?
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Calhoun has been with me since my sophomore year in high school, and he has really transformed my game. Anyone I run into in Southern California, I tell him reach out to Coach Calhoun and Armed and Dangerous Football, because that's the guy who's going to take your game to the next level. He gave me the opportunity to, you know, fine-tune my craft. We worked on so many different things. He helped me prepare for my pro day, and he's just been a guy I can lean on. He's got a lot of expertise in the field and has a lot of connections, just someone I can lean on, ask questions, and I know he's going to give me a truthful answer, and that's what I love most about him. One of my favorite things is every single time we worked out, he always had something new for me to try or, you know, tweak with. It was never like, okay, there, you've made it. It's always striving for that next step. And so me moving to Reno has actually made it a little bit tougher for us to get together, but you know, we try and get together a couple times a year before I head off back to the CFL.
Yeah, and we're visiting with Cody Fajardo, and you mentioned moving to Reno. You know, obviously you made the decision coming out of Servite which school you wanted to go to. Why was University of Nevada? Why was that the choice?
You know, it jumped off the page at me when I took the my official visit here. I loved everything about the university. I loved the community, the fans. But I fell in love with Lake Tahoe, which is about 30 minutes away.
Something
you don't really get down in Southern California. I also love being able to get on the freeway at 4 o'clock and not have to worry about bumper to bumper traffic, which is a little bit different. But, you know, I just really enjoyed it. And then the pistol offense kind of spoke to me. Coach Hall being the guru behind that, and watching Colin Kaepernick play as I was a senior in high school, I just knew I wanted to emulate kind of my game after him. And it was truly a blessing and one of my greatest decisions ever to choose the University of Nevada and go on and be a four-year starter.
Yeah, you mentioned that offense really tailor-made to your style of play. You mentioned Colin Kaepernick, who was the quarterback right before you. His senior year, I think, was your freshman year there at Nevada, if I'm correct. And what were you able to learn, you know, watching Colin run that offense? It's a go-go-go offense, as we know, and not the easiest thing to run at times.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I learned from Colin was toughness. You got to be tough to play in this offense. Sometimes us quarterbacks in the pistol offense would have to carry the ball 25, 30 times, which is kind of ridiculous.
Wow.
If you think about it. But that's kind of what it leans on. If the defense is giving you the quarterback run, that's a big part of our offense. And when your quarterback can run, it makes them have to defend all 11 guys on the field, which is truly hard to do. So I just remember him getting hit so many times my redshirt year watching him, and every single time he got up, and I was like, man, you really got to be tough to play in this offense. So I really worked hard at it, worked in the off season, got bigger, faster, stronger, and I just kind of, you know, took that away from him.
You came in and took over that offense, and it seemed really seamless. Was the learning curve a lot more than it seemed to be as we were watching you play, or did you kind of just fit in naturally and you just kind of you got the baton passed from Colin at that point?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of the baton being passed. One of the most frustrating things was all the media here, and everyone expected me to just jump right in and be Colin Kaepernick. And my redshirt freshman year, we were like we finished seventh in the nation, and we had a really good team that year. We ended up beating Boise, who was ranked third at home, one of the like most memorable games. And I just remember being frustrated so young, because I'm like, this guy is big, athletic, fast, and I'm just a freshman trying to figure out my college classes, trying to figure out campus life, trying to figure out football. And they all wanted success so early because we were so good. And then finally they were like, okay, you just beat Cody. We don't want you to be Colin. And that took so much pressure off me, and it was a little bit easier for me to make that transition.
Was there a moment when Coach sat down with you and told you that specifically, or did you just sort of get that feeling that, hey, they just want me to be me?
Yeah, I kind of got that feeling when I got a little bit more games under my belt. At first, you can tell that they were just really expecting me to just kind of take off. And I kind of sat down with Coach Allen, we just talked through it, and he's like, I know you're young, and we're expecting you to be successful, obviously, by giving you the chance to start, but just don't get frustrated with the situation. And just hearing that from him kind of gave me a little bit more confidence. It's like, okay, I took a deep breath and I said, at the end of the day, it's just football, and it's something I've been doing my whole life.
Cody Fajardo joining us here on Catholic Sports View this week, the High School Football Player of the Year in the state of California in 2009. In our next segment, we'll go back and talk some Servite memories. But as we finish this one out, you finish your career at Nevada. I'm sure you had your sights set on maybe, you know, going in the NFL draft. That didn't happen for you. You went undrafted, but you end up signing with the Oakland Raiders. What was the conversation like with the Raiders at the time, and what was the opportunity like to go to camp with them?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. The whole process, though, of coming out of college is just dreadful. It's really hard. They, you know, you go into the combine, they lay you on a table, and you feel like you're a car in an auto body shop where you got four doctors just cranking on each limb and saying, does this hurt? Does this hurt? And if you grimace at all, they're like, okay, you know, get an MRI on that, get an MRI, get an X-ray on that. And so you just kind of feel like a lab rat. And I remember, you know, they found some little thing in my foot that I'd never heard about. And my foot was like, I've never had problems with my feet. And a lot of teams just scratched me off their board because they found this possible Jones fracture in my fifth metatarsal in my left foot. So I'm just sitting there. And they actually tried to keep me out of the combine because I guess it was a big deal if you get injured at the combine. And I said, I didn't fly out all the way out here. I didn't train for my butt off for 3 months to be held out of the combine. So I signed a waiver release saying if I got hurt, you know, all that legal obligation.
Right.
But I ended up doing the combine. Everything worked out. The Raiders ended up taking a chance on me, which I was really excited about. There was I was the fourth quarterback they were bringing in. And the three guys ahead of me didn't have any practice squad eligibility. So I figured, you know what, I'll learn from Carr, go on the practice squad, and just be a part of this team. And I just remember after the third preseason game, they said, we really like you. We're going to let you go. We don't want you to play in the fourth preseason game and then have another team pick you up when we try and put you on the practice squad. So I was like, okay. They're like, hey, stay in the hotel for this week, and then we'll sign you to the practice squad. So I was like, okay. It seems like I made it, you know?
Right.
And I remember sitting around for a week in that hotel, and it was really frustrating because you want to be a part of the team and you want to be there. But I was feeling pretty confident. And then all of a sudden, I was scrolling through Twitter, and after the fourth preseason game, and they signed a quarterback to the practice squad. And then maybe 10, 15 minutes later, I got the call, hey, Cody, come in, you know, bring your playbook. And I thought it was a done deal. So it just kind of goes to show, like, the business aspect. There's always someone out there, you know, competing for the same job, and nothing's for sure. So it kind of turned me off a little bit to the NFL, but I got a great opportunity to go to CFL and check that out, and I've had a ton of fun there. The best thing about the CFL is no one makes a $100 million contract. So the best guys are going to play, and it's not like you're just tied into one guy just because you're paying them X amount of money.
Yeah, it's so true, and you've had the chance to play, as you mentioned, behind a veteran there in Ricky Ray with the Argonauts. I mean, here's a guy that, he won four or five, I think, Grey Cup championships. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's he's been to five. He's won four.
Won four of them now, yeah.
Won four, yep.
So what's it been like to sit behind him, pick his brain, and learn the ways of the CFL from a great veteran like that?
Yeah, it's been unbelievable. He is an amazing guy. Just really selfless. If you were, say, Ricky Ray, this guy is a four-time Grey Cup champ, and you just met him and didn't know who he was, you'd have no idea that he was this superstar in the CFL. Just the guy he is, the personality he has. He's helped me so much. And the only, I only know the CFL under Ricky Ray, which has been a blessing for me. I've been there for 3 years, and all 3 years Ricky's been there as well. So just picking his brain as much as I can about the position. That guy knows where everyone's going to be before they're there. And it's truly fun to watch. And it was one of those things where when we were down in the fourth quarter and you see number 15 jog out on the field, you knew you had a chance. And it just gave us guys a sense of hope. And I hope one day I can kind of be that guy where the team really rallies behind them.
We're going to take a quick break here on Catholic Sports View. And when we come back, we'll continue our visit with Cody Fajardo. He is a champion, having won the Grey Cup in the Canadian Football League just a couple of weeks ago. More with Cody when we come back right here on Relevant Radio.
We can't accept this colored priest.
But the Catholic Church deplores double slavery, that of the mind and that of the body.
We want no Tolton's in this place.
I shall work at it and pull at it as long as God gives me life.
Get out of Quincy, go elsewhere, get!
May I never give up.
Learn more at ToltonDrama.com.
See Tolton at Christ Cathedral's Free Theater, January 26th through 28th. For info, go to ccdramaseries.com.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and we are joined by Cody Fajardo. You remember him as the star quarterback, won a CIF and a state championship with the Servite Friars back in his playing days here in the Trinity League, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get along here in the interview. But I just kind of wanted to wrap up some of the things with the CFL. Obviously, we see quarterbacks play into their late 30s, as Ricky Ray has done up there with the Argonauts, and you know, being able to maybe target out a career. Do you see yourself being able to carve out a career in the Canadian Football League, or is there still in the, a part of you in the back of your mind that says, maybe the NFL, maybe one more chance?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of one of my things that I'm dealing with now. My contract's actually up with the Argonauts,
okay.
So I'm free to sign wherever. And if an NFL team comes, I think I would want to give myself another shot at it, just so I don't have any regrets looking back. But if not, I am so happy with the CFL and my career there so far and being able to contribute like we talked about earlier. It's just been truly a blessing. And I've told myself, you know, there's two ways I'm going to stop playing. And that's if nobody wants me or if my body just gives out. So whichever one comes first, that's probably when I'll be done playing.
What's it like, you know, playing football in Canada? Obviously, we know the Toronto Blue Jays are the big baseball team up there. They have a big following. We know the soccer team, Toronto FC, just won the MLS championship up in Toronto. So that's got to be a big thing going on right now. A couple of championships going on in Toronto. It's got to be big times right now to be a part of that community. What's it like to be part of the football community in Canada?
Yeah, it's Toronto is a true sports town, and that's what I love most about it. You have, like you said, you have the Blue Jays, you have the Toronto FC, you have the Raptors, you have the Maple Leafs, you have us. So there's five really major sports
right
up there, and it gets a little frustrating at times as football because there's always something really fun to do in Toronto. So I know sometimes our fan base isn't quite there, but I think we really created a great momentum towards next year because of winning the Grey Cup. And a lot of teams counted us out. You got to remember that we were the worst team in the league last year, and we flipped it all the way around with Coach Treshman, and we were end up being the Grey Cup champs. So I think there's a lot of positive movement towards next year, and there should be a good fan base following. But like I said, I love that sports town. It's so much fun just because I've been to every single game. I've been to a Blue Jays game. I've been to a Maple Leafs game. I've been to a Raptors game. You know, and it is fun to go to those games and just watch some of the top athletes play.
You've played for, of course, Troy Thomas, a big personality, obviously, at Servite, and Coach Alden at Nevada, and we know what his resume looks like, and Mark Trestman now, and we know the things that he's been able to put together and the coaching career he's had, now winning a championship there. What do these coaches all have something in common, or what have you kind of gotten out of each of the coaches as you've gone along the way?
You know, surprisingly, they all do it a different way, which is really interesting, and it's kind of helped me because they each have their own little way, their own blueprint to winning a championship. And that's what's really helped me, you know, going forward as a player and hopefully as a coach, is just learning that there's different ways to get to the end result, that there's no fine cookie cutter where this is how you have to do it. And learning from those three guys who are three completely different personalities has been truly amazing for me.
All right, now time to go back in the time machine. We're going to go back to the Servite days and relive some of the high school football glory. Is it hard to believe it's been that many years, you know, since those things happened at Servite and your football career got started there?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty funny. I was actually talking to TJ McMahon the other day about, you know, a little bit about recruiting and stuff. And I can't believe the class, you know, class of 2017, 2018. It just seems like I was in high school so long ago, and I know I'm not really that old, but it just seems crazy. And how much that high school football has changed and how much more talent there is. Everyone's bigger, faster, stronger. Social media has really made a huge impact on high school football and on high school recruiting. So it's really fun to watch. The game is not just that slow game anymore. It's, you know, guys are making plays, and there's a lot of great athletes out there.
Yeah, obviously, you know how good the Trinity League is. You know, you got a chance to be a part of that in playing that. I don't know how much you've had a chance to follow any of it this year, but, you know, Modern Day is the number one team in the nation this year and looking like maybe the best high school football team that ever took the field. I mean, it's the level of football, as you mentioned, here in Southern California is just crazy right now.
Yeah, that's what I respect most about the Trinity League. It doesn't matter what school you're playing. You know that it's going to be a dogfight. And it's going to be a four-quarter game. And I was telling some of the Servite guys that I keep in touch with, I was saying, you throw out the records and the rankings in rivalry games. So when we were playing Modern Day, I was like, you know what? Throw all that out. It's an even playing field because rivalry games are just so much different. There's so much emotion attached to it. Obviously, they got the better of us, but they're a fun team to watch. Modern Day was really fun to watch this year, but I'm always rooting for Servite, and I'm always rooting against Modern Day.
Yeah, it's so true. Once a Friar, always a Friar. Once a Monarch, always a Monarch, right? That's the fun part about that rivalry.
and that's exactly it. And there's alumni all over the place, you know, Servite alum, Modern Day alum. Actually, my landlord is a Modern Day alum. So
there you go.
it's pretty funny how, you know, you find ways to come across each other's paths. And yeah, we make some friendly bets, like a dinner bet or something on the game, but it's really fun to just meet those people, and you know they're not bad people, but you always got to root against them.
Right, of course. We're visiting with Cody Fajardo, the 2009 Glenn Davis Award winner, given to the best high school football player in the state of California. And it's funny, I was watching the weather that you guys played in the CFL, and it was a snowstorm when you won. I said, wait a minute. Cody's used to winning a championship in pretty adverse conditions. You won a CIF title in a pounding rainstorm when you guys beat Edison back in 2009. So did that bring back a couple of memories as well?
You know, not until you just said that. I made the connection. That is pretty awesome. I now know if there's some sort of bad condition in a championship game, I'll have a lot more confidence going into it. But I remember taking the field and it just being covered in snow, and I'm like, okay, this is what Canadian football is all about. It's in the snow, you know, it's packed. And Shania Twain's the halftime show. So that just speaks Canadian football. And it was a really fun game. I think we didn't realize how cold it was because it was snowing, and it kind of made the game more fun. If there was no snow, I think it would be really, really cold.
Yeah, it's so true. That is the epitome of Canadian football, but that driving rainstorm in that championship game against Edison, that is not what California football's about. We're used to playing in 70-degree weather. Take us back to that game, your memories of it, and winning that CIF championship in a lake almost at Angel Stadium that year.
Yeah, I remember stepping foot out on the field, and I think there was like two or three games before us, so that
right.
field was already just down. And I remember stepping on the field and the water went up to my ankles, And I was just thinking, all right, everything's going to be different because you don't have that confidence in your leg because you don't feel like I'm going to get the best grip I can. I just remember going into it, we can't turn the ball over. If we protect the football and we don't turn it over, then we'll have our best chance to win. And then I remember guys just doing slip and slides at halftime, like yeah. running out at halftime and after the game. And that's what makes it fun. You know, it goes back to backyard football. You're in your backyard playing with your buddies and it's raining and you come in all muddy and your mom and dad yell at you for ruining your new jeans. But, you know, that's what football is about bringing that kid out in you. And I think that's what that game did for us.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun as a reporter there and covering the game that night. Yeah, I've seen you guys all slide around and celebrating that championship. That was so much fun. And what a special team that was. I mean, we could name a half dozen. Troy Nicholas, of course, who's gone on to a great college career and an NFL career as well. I mean, you could see how good that team was. So many great players on that squad.
Yeah, you know, surprisingly, we were probably the most undersized team in the Trinity League. We also probably had the least amount of guys recruited in the Trinity League. But for some reason, like, every guy played for the guy next to him. There was a true, like, brotherly love with that team. And I've never really experienced anything like it. We were just so close as a team. We did everything together as a team, and we knew we could be really good if we just continue to stay the course. And that's what we did. And I think that's what Coach Thomas did well for us was he knew he had a good team, and he just kind of let us take the leadership of the team, us seniors, instead of, you know, bringing down the hammer. He kind of said, hey, you know what, seniors, you take care of it within yourself. And it ended up working out really well for us.
Cody Fajardo, Servite Friar, joining us, Player of the Year in 2009, CIF and state champion, reliving some of the great memories from those times in the Trinity League. As you think back now, as you've had a chance to think back on those times, what are some of your great memories of being a Friar and some of those great high school memories?
Well, hands down, the first one has to be beating Modern Day my senior year mm-hmm. for the first time in 20 years. That game was unbelievable. It was back and forth, and we knew no lead was safe. And I just remember the Santa Ana Bowl being completely sold out. And I was like, this is a high school game? It was pretty surreal to be a part of. That, hands down, was number one. Number two was winning state the way we won it on a walk-off field goal by Echeverry. It was unbelievable, you know, being a part of that. And then I think just my overall Servite, like schooling and brotherhood, was the best decision that I never made. I fought my parents tooth and nail on going to Servite. I wanted to go because I was a public school kid. I wanted to go to La Habra High School with all my friends. And my brother was already at Servite. My cousin was already at Servite. And they said, no, you're going to Servite. You're getting a better education, and you're going to have a chance to play Division I football. And I fought, like I said, fought them tooth and nail, and I ended up going there and loved every moment of it. I continue to give back as much as I can to Servite because they really changed my life for the better.
Yeah, mom and dad, they know a few things though once in a while, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You think you got it all figured out when you're 13, 14 years old.
Now, your dad played college football, correct? And your grandfather did too. So there's a lineage there of football in your family that goes back a long ways.
Yeah, you know, surprisingly enough, my dad and my brother both were defensive players, and my grandpa was like a fullback and defensive, like linebacker, defensive lineman. So there was no quarterbacks in our family, and my dad just kind of forced me into the quarterback position. I really liked it. I really took to it, and I just remember them giving me a bunch of crap all the time, you know, saying I'm soft because I'm a quarterback or like a prima donna, you know, because they're defensive guys, and that's what they know is get after the quarterback. But it was another great decision that my dad made for me and ended up pushing me towards being quarterback, and it's paid off pretty well.
Yeah, the last couple of moments here with Cody Fajardo, champion at all three levels, high school, in college, obviously now in the professional ranks, winning a Grey Cup championship with the CFL's Toronto Argonauts. You know, you mentioned at the beginning of the interview that maybe someday you want to get into coaching. Is that something already going through your head? Hey, maybe post-career, kind of what I want to do, and staying in the game is something that definitely appeals to you?
Yeah, you know, definitely. I think just of all the coaches that have impacted my life over the years, I want to be that guy who can help kids reach their max potential on and off the field. I tell my brother all the time, my brother's actually the theology teacher at Servite now, and he coaches, helps with the freshman football team and basketball and golf. But I tell my brother all the time, you know, I want, before it's all said and done, I would love to be the head coach at Servite one time, you know, 1 year or maybe 10 years, whatever they want me, but at least 1 year be the head coach at Servite, and he would be obviously on my staff. So we're really looking forward to that. Hopefully that can come true in the coming years after my playing days, but you know, I'm really excited for the future opportunity in coaching.
Cody, we want to thank you for joining us this week here on Catholic Sports View. We wish you best of luck, and we're going to follow you as you, wherever your career takes its next turn. We'll be following you, and we'll be in touch with you.
Oh, that's awesome. I had a lot of fun. Going to leave you guys with my favorite Bible verse, James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. And I've tried to do that my whole life and, you know, won 3 championships, and there's no coincidence that, you know, God has truly had my back through it all.
Amen. Amen to that, for sure. Thanks again, Cody. We appreciate it. We'll talk with you soon.
All righty. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. That's Cody Fajardo, former Servite Friar, University of Nevada Wolfpack, and now a champion in the professional ranks with the CFL's Toronto Argonauts. We'll have much more right here on Catholic Sports View when we come back, right here on Relevant Radio.
We have been so excited about Catholic Night at the Honda Center that we couldn't wait to start promoting the event. The Anaheim Ducks even sent Wildling himself to help with the planning. And I'd say it's going pretty well. But you know, it'd be really great if everybody just showed up and had a wonderful time. So join us Friday, February 9th at the Honda Center for Catholic Night. Wild Wing and the Ducks will bring the action, and we'll bring the spirit.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. I'm Bob Gibson, and we welcome in the head coach of De La Salle High School in the city of Concord. Of course, the legendary football program in Northern California. That's Justin Allenbaugh. Coach, thanks for joining us here this week on Catholic Sports View.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, and not like it's a busy week for you or anything, right? You're only playing in a state championship this weekend. How's the week gone for you? I know it's not the first time around for you, but how has this week gone for you and the Spartans?
It's gone well. Our kids have been prepping well. It's actually nice. This is the first year since we've been in the state championship game that we don't have finals this week. So
Oh, nice.
We have finals next week. Yeah, so I'm actually finishing up writing my algebra final for all my kids. So it's actually a little less hectic than it normally is. So our prep's been good. Kids have a little less to worry about, so it's been nice.
You know, and you bring up a great point. I think sometimes, you know, we forget it as reporters. People listening out there probably forget it. You know, not only are these kids students and need to worry about their studies, but a lot of times coaches like yourself, you're a teacher as well. I mean, you got other things you have to take care of around school than just coach football, right?
Yeah, there's a lot more to take care of than just coaching football. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into a game, not just the game plan and getting the kids ready. You know, you got to get the transportation, you got to get the meals, and not to mention, you know, I'm in the classroom as well. So, you know, trying to make sure that the students are getting what they need. And a lot of our kids, you know, a lot of times we'd be having finals leading right up to the state championship, and that would add a little bit of misery for them. So it's nice to have at least a little bit of break before we have to go in.
For those not familiar, of course, the De La Salle program, you know, there's been movies made about it. They're, you know, the long winning streak a few years back, you know, it's the most storied program, obviously, in the state of California. On the bigger picture, obviously, you know, Bob Latissour, you know, you had a chance to see how he did things. How big a help was that? Obviously, it's a big help, but, you know, just exactly what did you learn from Coach that has allowed you to take this program over now and make a seamless transition, it seems like?
Well, I played for him, and I coached with him for about 15 years.
Right.
So there's not a whole lot that I didn't learn, you know, and he's special. He really is. The guy's incredible, and he's, you know, rightfully so. He's known as one of the greatest coaches ever, and, you know, I owe him a lot. I love the man, and his desk is right next to me. He still coaches with us.
I know he does, right? He's still a big presence there within the program.
Yeah, he coaches with the defensive line. He's happy now. He goes out, he coaches the boys. No parents, no reporters, no fundraise, nothing. So he just coaches football with his best friends and working with the kids, and he loves it. And he does a pretty good job working with the D-line.
I got to guess, and obviously, you know, I'll get you to answer the question, but I think there's probably two parts. Obviously, when you're offered the job as the head coach of De La Salle, it's like, wow, I get to be the head coach of such a great football program. I would think on the other end of it, too, and it's like, what a responsibility to take over this program from this head coach and everything everything that program means to not only locally, but statewide and then nationally as well.
Yeah, it really is. It's a great honor to be the coach here, and it was a great honor to be even, you know, considered for it. And, you know, talking with the coach and our administration and everything, it was, you know, I was definitely honored. And I guess I'm pretty dumb, too, because you walk into a situation where it's pretty hard to do much better than Coach Ladd. But, you know, I'm honored. It's a great, you know, I went to school here. My brother went to school here. My sister went to the all-girls school across the street. You know, this is home, and it's, you know, I love the kids. I love, you know, a lot of these teachers that are here, you know, taught me, and I've been teaching here a long time. So it's a neat place to be, and I'm honored to be here. And it's a great place to work. It's a great place to be. And we don't even, to be honest, don't even really consider it work. My wife always jokes around. She's like, you don't even get sad going to work. Or I'm like, no, you know, I consider myself pretty lucky in that regard. I think we all do.
It's so true. Justin Alamaugh, the head football coach at Concord De La Salle, joining us for a couple of minutes here in preparations for tonight. We're taping this a couple of days beforehand, but this will be heard on Saturday morning. So tonight is the night, the state championship between De La Salle and, of course, the Modern Day Monarchs, the number one ranked team in the nation. Now, that's a place that you know very well. You know, De La Salle so many times has been the number one team in the nation, you know, the mythical national championship. Explain to us what it's like to be part of that program. You know it as a player and as a coach.
Those are byproducts. I don't think we really talk about national championships here or anything like that. Our goal is always to get the most that we can out of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a player here, I think I was part of mythical national championships or state championships or that, this or that, and as coaches as well. But, you know, we always want, now that they have the state championship, which is great, I'm glad they've done that ever since 2006. Now there's a real, you know, end point. Our goal is always to win a state championship, and that's our main goal. And it's sort of a byproduct of the work that we do, and it's something we take a lot of pride in. We're happy to be back in the state championship. We're up against it, you know, with this modern day team, and you know, if they're ranked number one in the country for a reason. I don't think there's any dispute about them being the number one, really, either. They're pretty incredible, and they got so many athletes, and they're so well coached. You know, we have the utmost respect with Coach Rawlinson and his entire staff. I know most of them have been there with him for a really long time, and we have a long history going back about almost 20 years with them now. And you know, you got to tip your cap to them. You know, they're pretty incredible, and they've done some great things this year.
Yeah, it's so true. I've covered them all year long, and I said, boy, it's, you know, you want to find a weakness on this team. You've obviously turned on the film, and you and your coaches have dissected it backwards and forwards. Do you see anything on the film where there's a weakness to attack on this modern day team, offensively or defensively?
No, no, not really. You know, we put on film, we're sitting there, and we're watching, it just so happened, we're watching their offense first, and we're going, oh, man, you know, offensive line's great, quarterback's obviously incredible, they got two great runners, and then all of their receivers, seems like they rotate about six different receivers, and all of those guys are awesome, and then they have a great scheme, and we're like, well, man, well, that didn't go very well, let's flip it over to defense, and then we put on their defense, and it's like, well, that didn't go terribly well either. They're pretty dang good there too. So, no, those guys, you know, they don't have, you know, a weakness per se. They're, you know, they're good against the run. They're good against the pass defensively. Offensively, they can run when they need to. You know, a lot of teams think that, or a lot of people think that they just throw the ball over the place. They don't. They run the ball when they need
mm-hmm.
to. And they're good at it. And they're good at it behind a big physical offensive line that does a great job. And they can obviously sling it all over the place. Not, you know, not very often that you see, you know, as talented a core of receivers as they have with a quarterback. Then, you know, he's throwing 30 to 40 yard back shoulder fades and stuff, you know, as a high schooler. So that's not normal. That's not something you see all the time. And, you know, their receivers run great routes. They're well coached. They know what they're doing. They know where they're going. So no, they don't really have a weakness. They're good on special teams too. So it's impressive. It's one of the most well-rounded teams we've seen, and they're great for sure. They deserve all the accolades they've been getting.
Yeah, very true. Justin Alamaugh joining us, head coach of the De La Salle Spartans, the representative from the northern part of the state, being the state championship game here tonight against Modern Day. Obviously, you guys have the common opponent this year in Bishop Gorman. Modern Day kind of gutted out a win against Gorman. You guys were on the only loss this year for you guys, 34-7. What can you learn out of that game, seeing what they did versus what you guys did, that you can kind of take into your matchup here with Modern Day?
Well, you play a great team like that, your margin for error. We played a couple of really high-level teams. We played a team from Washington, D.C. this year. They're a really high-level team, as is Bishop Gorman. We play some really good competition from around us. And obviously modern day there. The margin for error in those games when you're playing a national level team, which obviously modern day is, they're the national level right now. When you play a team like that, and you play a team like Bishop Gorman, you can't make mistakes, and we made a lot of them. You know, that game kind of snowballed on us, and as soon as our running back went out, our main running back Kyrie Robinson, he went out pretty early in the second quarter, and then I didn't like how our team responded. We didn't gut it out. We don't have the type of kids that we just we sling the ball all over the place or anything like that. We got to be a gutty, physical, tough team, and I didn't like how we responded, our toughness in that game, and that's something that we've been really working on the entire year. And you know, that's something that we're absolutely going to have come Saturday, or we're going to be in big trouble. We got to be really physical, and we got to be really gutsy. Our guys got to play their best game, and we got to eliminate fumbles and be the most physical that we've been all year. That's our recipe for success against anybody, but especially against a team like modern day. We're gonna have to be diamonds.
Yeah, so true. I've been talking about it on air for, I don't know, the last 4 or 5 weeks now. You want to be playing your best football, obviously, at this time of year. You want to be peaking at this time of year. And it seems like your team is doing that now, especially on the defensive side. Your defense is really dialed in now, it seems, as it's been all year long here.
Yeah, it's the best defense we've been playing for sure. Been happy with that group. We had a pretty young group for a while, and they've took them a little while to gel, but we've been playing pretty well recently. The last probably 2 months, we've been playing quite well. Our secondary's gotten a lot better. We had some young guys out there, and they've kind of gotten their feet wet a little bit. We got one of our defensive linemen, Tuli Latuli Gasanoa. He got injured in that Bishop Gorman game as well, and he was out for about a month, and he's been back, and that's been a big addition for our defense. So I've been happy with their progress, definitely, and we're going to need them. You know, we're going to have to eliminate a lot of the big plays that modern day seems to get multiple times every game, so we got to try and make those guys work for some scores.
Yeah, and obviously on the offensive side of things, I mean, you guys regularly score 30, 40 points a game up until this game against Pittsburgh in this last time where they kind of held you down. I guess that's considered holding you down to 24 points in winning that game against Pittsburgh. But once you get to that time of the year, of course, they're all great football teams, and you hit a couple of good opponents, or you kind of cast aside a couple of good teams to get to this point in the season now where you're playing for a state title.
Yeah, we've played a tough schedule. I mean, we played, as I said, St. John's. They won out in that district. The only other team that they lost to was a close game to St. John Bosco, who's good, and Bishop Gorman, obviously. And we played a couple teams that are in some of the other regional state championship games. Not regional, but the state championship games. Pittsburgh's playing. St. Francis is playing. Central Fresno just lost to a good, really good Northern California team named Folsom. So, you know, we've been playing good competition, and, you know, we did that intentionally because, especially, the last 3 years, the teams that we've been playing the state championship games, they're really good. You know, this modern day team is obviously incredible. Last year's St. John Bosco team was awesome, and the year before that we played, you know, the number one team in the country that year. That was Corona Centennial, and those guys were awesome as well. So we know we have a pretty good idea. That's one of the benefits we have is, you know, we've been to the state championship a lot, and we have a pretty good idea about what we're going to face. So we've tried to give our kids the opportunity to face that type of competition and get ready for it for a test like Saturday night.
Well, Coach, it's a dream matchup for everybody involved, the Spartans and the Monarchs. It's exactly the matchup we thought we'd get this year. We did get it again. We wish you luck, and we know it's going to be fun. We can't wait for it to see what happens. We're just hoping for a great game here.
So am I. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks again. That's Coach Justin Allenbaugh, the head football coach at Concord De La Salle, going to tackle the modern-day Monarchs and try to ruin their chance at a national championship this year and hope to claim for them another state championship. A little bit more right here on Catholic Sports View when we come back, right here on Relevant Radio.
Join Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take our pilgrims to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. And visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
The Diocese of Orange is partnered with local travel company, Travel of Orange, to assist in organizing and facilitating pilgrimages to Catholic shrines, churches, and inspiring destinations worldwide. Find out about discounted travel rates, personal service, and customized travel experiences at key religious sites. Call 877-538-0010 or visit travel.occatholic.com to learn more. That's 877-538-0010 or travel.occatholic.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Sports View. We welcome into the show Associate Executive Director of the CIF State Office, and that's Ron Nocetti. Mr. Nocetti, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View this week.
Oh, I appreciate you guys having me on the air.
Absolutely. You know, we want to talk football. I'm looking at your bio on the website. I know you have golf and so many other sports that fall, baseball, that fall under your jurisdiction. But, of course, this time of year, football, and I got to think that's probably one of the biggest things that's on your plate for any school year.
Oh, absolutely. It's you know, it's the whole season long, but especially in the playoffs with the events and managing the system and how we do it now, it takes a lot of time, but we're fortunate in that we have a staff of 10 people in this office, and so they all take different pieces of the event and do a great job with it.
Now, of course, the state playoffs are, as of our taping, when people hear the show, it'll be on Saturday morning, so tonight it will be the second day of state football festivities. A night ago, Friday night will have been the first night. Saturday night, we'll wrap up all the festivities of the state. And, you know, it only seems like it's been around for a few years, but it's actually been quite a few years now that the state football playoffs have been around, and they've been such a wild success here for the time that we've had them here in California.
Yeah, no, we've been lucky. We've, as you know, we've expanded from an initial three games when we first started, and then added the open division, expanded it to the five divisions, and then more recently, adding the regional games and going to the 13 divisions or six divisions with the double A and A in each. And, you know, every time it's grown, it's included more schools, that haven't had the opportunity to play in the event before, and the feedback has been positive.
Why do you think it was time for a state playoff system in California when it finally did take place here?
Well, I think, you know, we have arguably, and I know I'm biased, but I think we have the best football in the country.
I would agree 100% with you there, yeah.
And so I think the schools were excited to be able to test themselves against kids from other sections and other regions of the state, and not just on the field, but it also gives our student-athletes the ability to interact with student-athletes from other parts of the state that they normally don't get to know or don't get to see or don't get to be on a field with. So I think that's the important part as well.
Logistically, was it something that was tough to put together, or was it kind of a natural flow in the early times of putting this all together?
You know, honestly, I started with the CIF in 2008, so I was not here the first few years of the planning. But I can tell you that we have 10 sections, I'm sure you're aware of, 10 geographic sections throughout the state. And the executive director at the time, Maria Shida, and our executive committee at the time worked really hard with at our first tournament director was Ken Gunn from down your way.
And, yep, I remember
and,
Ken, yep.
And they worked with the 10 sections, and they came up with a system that I think at the time suited the organization well, and they're to be commended because it got the ball rolling to where we are today. And can it be difficult logistically with a state our size? Yes, but seeing the student athletes at our event and the excitement on their faces when they get there and the games themselves, that's just not something we even think about. What we do isn't work. You know, it's an absolute joy to do jobs like this.
Yeah, I remember that first year seeing talking with Maria Shida and just seeing the joy on her face and all the commissioners at that time that this thing had finally come to fruition and that it was something. As I mentioned, it's really built on itself over the years. Is it a thing where you get together with Mr. Blake and all the commissioners kind of sit down and decide, okay, where can we go to take this even further?
Well, we have, you know, we always, the commissioners, we have two different groups we go to for feedback in the event. Well, actually three, I'm sorry. We have the schools themselves that play in the event. You know, we will always seek feedback from those schools, and they're happy to share with us the experience they've had. So that helps us a lot moving forward. Then the second group is, yes, our section commissioners, and along with that, our executive committee, which is 9 elected people throughout the state. So they have a wide representation in California. And, you know, what's going well? What are you hearing from their schools? Because, you know, we're at the state office where Rob Weiga in the southern section is in constant contact with the schools in his community, and they're more apt to reach out to him to to suggest changes or things that could make the event better. And then finally, we have our state football advisory committee, which there's one coach or administrator from every section, and we meet with them twice a year in September and January. And one of the things we do every time is review this event and look for ways to make it better.
Ron Nocetti joining us, Associate Executive Director with the CIF State Office. You know, as I mentioned, this is the weekend. Is it kind of like being a proud father, you know, all the planning and everything, then you finally get you get to see the baby come to fruition here on this weekend?
Yeah, it is, but, you know, again, like I said, it's one where I'm by no means on an island. We have so many people throughout the state that helped to make this happen that I think we're all very proud of the event at that time. But absolutely, it's time consuming, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun. You know, from putting the matchups together to having the conversations of who belongs in what division, and then to watching the games. Obviously, watching the games is the most enjoyable part for all of us.
You know, you mentioned those conversations of deciding who's going to play in those regional play-in games, who's eventually going to play in the Open Championship. I imagine that those can't be easy conversations at times because there, as we mentioned, we're in a state where I agree with you. I think we have the best football in the nation right now, and plenty of teams, you know, probably at some point can say, hey, maybe we deserve to be there and didn't get a chance. Not everybody can get that chance. That's how good the football is here, but I imagine those are tough conversations to be in those meetings at times.
They are, but they're a lot easier today than they were when we were actually selecting teams. If you remember when the system first started, when there's only three divisions and then five divisions,
right,
we had many section champions with undefeated seasons that were told that you weren't picked. And those were much more difficult conversations because those schools did everything they could on the field to play and to not have a chance to participate. So at least in today's system, you know, we have the section champions all move forward. The only time a section champion wouldn't is if a section and their member schools voted to send a runner-up in an open division to replace, you know, one of the division champions. But other than that, every school that wins a section championship is going to be in the game now. And that's made it much more enjoyable for us and much easier to communicate with the schools. And then now every once in a while they say, well, we thought maybe we'd be in Division 3A instead of 3AA, et cetera. But those are much easier conversations to have.
Ron Nocetti joining us, Associate Executive Director with the CIF State Office. He's in charge of these football playoffs going on, the state playoffs, the second day of which will happen today, later on tonight, as you're hearing the show here on this Saturday morning. You know, obviously the CIF Southern section is a monster. It's obviously the biggest of the sections in the state. Is it tough sometimes to measure what some teams are able to do there versus, you know, right next door is a very small section in the LA City section, you know, San Diego section to the south of that? Are there times when you have to weigh, you know, teams in sections that it's a tough time deciding who played who and who had the tougher schedule, and you try to put that all together? It's a bunch of moving parts, I guess.
It is, and it's difficult, but we have more data today than we've ever had before in helping us to do that. We use the, you know, systems put in place by Cal Preps and Max Preps, mm-hmm. and Cal High Sports, and look at rankings so that we see what other people think out there and make sure it's in line or is it similar to what we're thinking. And then that's where the section commissioners really come into play. We're having conversations with them throughout the playoffs, throughout the section playoffs, not just once it's over, and asking them, okay, what do you think of this team, and where do you think they fit best? And the nice part about the great part about our commissioners is there's no one in that group that will try and put their teams down low if they know to have a chance at winning or a greater chance at winning if they know they belong in a higher division. So I think in cooperation with them, they do a great job in matching up these teams. And, you know, ultimately it's high school football. And there's going to be times where we thought we had the best matchup on paper and the game ends up being a 28-point game. And then there's other games where we thought, you know, hopefully this one stays reasonable as far as the scorer, and it's been an overtime game. You know, it's not a perfect system, and these are high school football players when it's all said and done. And so you can do all the projections in the world, and the games can turn out very differently than you thought they may.
Well, it's so true. I mean, it's still football, and you still got to get on the field and play it, and you never know. We focus on the Trinity League here on our show, and we're looking at modern day being in that open division game, and you just never know, right? And until you play it, you never know how it's going to turn out on the field.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And you know, there's obviously with the teams in the southern part of the state, there's more schools down there.
Yeah.
It's probably a little deeper as far as the number of schools that can compete at that level. But I think also the Northern California schools have shown in the actual championship games that the best of those schools can certainly compete.
Yeah, so true. Now, from a marketing perspective, obviously you can't do much better than having the number one team in the nation. I know that's, you know, there's no official poll. There's obviously polls around that would have Modern Day as the number one team in the nation. But to be able to say we've got the top team in the nation and possibly a national champion playing in our state championship game here, from a marketing perspective, that's got to be a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. It's exciting. And I think our open division game, if you look at the history of the game, it's factored a lot of ways, whether it's our school that ends up being a mythical national champion or a school from another state. I think that open division game has been one of the games that all the rankings people across the country have to wait for before crowning anybody.
Yeah, it's so true. And then, you know, do you have De La Salle on the other side, who, of course, has just as much history on their side, if not even more than Modern Day? You've got two storied schools playing each other. These really are the dream matchups, that happen here in this open division game like we have this year.
There's no question it's a matchup that I think everyone across the state wants to see. But then you go down the line and you look at the matchups from the open division all the way down through 6A, and especially the five games that are going to be played at Sacramento State, I think we're in for a great weekend of football. And I think no matter where you go to a game, whether it's in San Diego or at Sacramento State or, you know, somewhere down in the L.A. area, you're going to see great football this weekend across the board in all divisions.
Well, it's true, and I'm just as excited to see what Narbonne does, because I think Narbonne's got a heck of a football team out of the L.A. City section, and I'm just as excited to see what their game's going to end up being like as I am Modern Day. So you talked about it. Every matchup is a really good one on paper this year. As I was, you know, scanning the list after all the games were done last week, and I'm thinking, man, we really do have the best of the best here this year. We're really fortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you remember last year, I think every game, with the exception of the open division game, came down to either one overtime. There was one overtime, and then every other game came down to the last possession.
You're absolutely right.
And that's exciting. That's exciting for everyone.
Yeah, that is. That's good football. Now, obviously, we've had the games down here in Southern California. This year, they're up in Sacramento. I thought about kind of moving it around throughout the state, or are we pretty much kind of between the LA area and going to Sacramento every so often?
Sure. We do every 3 years. We put the event out for we request proposals from throughout the state.
Mm-hmm.
And so our proposal process, we send these out to quite a few different organizations that we think can host this event. And so what we'll be doing on Friday at about 3 p.m. on Friday, we'll be announcing where the event will be for the next several years.
How many years in advance? Is that a set number of years that a stadium or an area is bidding for?
We ask everyone to bid to guarantee us at least 3 years, and then we have the option of choosing to do it for less, but when the bids come in, they're all for 3 years. So these bids that are coming in this time would be for the 2018, 2019, 2020 championships.
Well, we're looking forward to that, and of course, we'll pass along that announcement as it happens on Friday. We'll pass it along here next week right here on Catholic Sports View. Rhonda Sandy, we want to thank you for joining us. We want to wish you luck on a great event this weekend as it continues. We told our listeners we're taping this just a couple of days before, but as they hear this, it'll be a Saturday morning, and we're looking forward to a great second day of games. I know the whole weekend's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks again for joining us here this week.
Thank you for having us, and thanks for everything you do for high school sports. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Want to thank all my guests this week: Cody Fajardo, Justin Allenbaugh, Ron Nocetti. It was a big week of talking football, and as we kind of wrap up football here for the season, and we transfer into the winter season, which, of course, has a lot of basketball in it, but a lot of the other sports as well. But it's been a fun football season for us here on Catholic Sports View, and we'll talk next week about the wrap-up, and we'll talk about whether those modern-day Monarchs were able to win a state championship, and then, of course, that would give them the mythical national championship as well. Much more next week. That wraps up the show for this week. I am Bob Gibson. Thanks again for joining us. Catholic Sports View, right here on Relevant Radio.